Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to FOSDEM 2021, and specifically welcome to the Safety and Open Source Dev Room. We're excited. This is the first year we're running a Safety and Open Source Dev Room, and we're hoping it's going to be a mainstay at FOSDEMs and other conferences for years to come. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to start by, first of all, very quickly introducing the Dev Room, a bit about why we've set up this Dev Room and what we're hoping to achieve. And then I'm going to give a presentation on using open source software for safety applications. It's going to be quite a high level presentation. I'm not going to go into too much detail. It's really going to be an introduction to a lot of the topics and the things that we're trying to build a community and figure out together. So first of all, a bit about me. Very reluctant to put a picture of myself in a presentation, but I figured because we're not in person, you can't see me, you deserve to see who's going to be talking at you for the next half an hour. So my name is Sean Rooney. I'm an engineering manager at CodeThink. Some of you might know who CodeThink are. We've usually got quite a heavy presence at FOSDEM in the physical conferences. We're an open source company, software company based in Manchester. And my role at CodeThink, I've been looking at how we can use open source software for safety applications. And I'm one of the FOSDEM Safety and Open Source Dev Room managers today. So why do we need a safety Dev Room? Open source is being used for safety applications. That's a fact, and that's whether we like it or not. You know, one of the beautiful things about open source is how available it is, and anyone can use it for any application that they want, but that means people are using it for safety applications, and we can't ignore this anymore. The software that the creators, that other creators are writing, has the potential to cause harm. You know, when we say safety, we really mean anything that has potential to cause harm. So software that's in a vehicle maybe, or in a medical device, or an airplane, or anywhere where if the software goes wrong, somebody could get hurt. That's what we mean by safety. And our software is being used there. And we can't ignore this. It's time for us to take a bit of control, step up and say, right, well, we're gonna have some control. We're gonna essentially make things safer. And we need to do this because we're the experts on software. Software is being used by companies who, they understand software, they understand safety, but they don't really understand open source. And we're the experts. We really need to take control here. And what can we achieve by building an open source community? Well, we understand the problems of using FOSS for safety. That's what we're hoping to achieve. Basically working together to solve these problems, work with the companies choosing to use FOSS, work with the safety experts, and ultimately make the world a safer place. So that's a bit about the Dev Room. So the presentation today is using free and open source software for safety applications. So we're going to start with the benefits of using FOSS for safety applications. I'm not going to bang on about that too much. I think this community understands the benefits of open source very well, so I don't really need to sell it to you guys. But I'll sort of start with a few of the highlight benefits. I'll talk a bit more in details about the problems involved. These are really, they're not all the problems, these are just problems that I've seen in the last few years and some of the big hurdles, and then a little bit of a call to action at the end. So the benefits of using free and open source software for safety applications. Well, the benefits of open source, like I said, this community understands it. I've kind of picked out a few of the highlights here. There's many, many more benefits for open source, but these are just general benefits. And I'll show why I've picked these ones. So the freedom to use the software allows you to control how you interact and distribute how you want. And this is kind of what the problem I was talking about a couple of minutes ago. It means that companies can use our code how they want, and we don't necessarily get a say in that. It's a great benefit for some reasons, but it also means, you know, people can be using our code for safety applications, maybe not in the right way. And big benefits of the control we have, we can review, modify, improve the software we're using. It's trustable, transparent code is trustable. We can see exactly what it does. We're not relying on binaries from third parties, I can see exactly what the code does for myself, and that's a huge benefit. And knowledge sharing, you know, cross communities share knowledge, we advance the state of the art through collaboration, which is a wonderful thing. And obviously there's many, many more benefits for open source. But I've highlighted those ones because they're really key for safety. We want all of those benefits to make things safe. Code that we have the freedom to modify and control means we can add necessary safety features that we need. Trustable code is safer. You know, if I can see the code, I can see if it's safe. The more people who see the code, the more people who are reviewing that code, and the more eyes on a piece of code, we know it's going to be safer. And importantly, if something's not safe, if we see a problem, we've got the freedom to modify, or we've got the freedom to add whatever safety functions we need to make it safe. And we're not relying on someone's just providing a binary and telling us, yes, it's definitely safe. Maybe there's a bug in the code they didn't know. Maybe we haven't thought, they haven't considered the use case we're going to put it in our product. And if they didn't consider that, they could be using it in some unsafe way. But if it's open source, those problems go away because we can see for ourselves whether it's working or not. Safety should be a community concern, not a commercialized commodity. Too often companies see the safety efforts as a competitive advantage rather than saying safety is something we should work on together. And I think if they picked up the values of open source and working together, the world would be a much safer place. I think a fantastic example is Volvo. It's a classic example of Volvo invented the seatbelt. It was a fantastic invention, something that they could have patented. They could have said, well, no, this is just us. We're going to make our cars safe. But they realized the importance of what they were doing. So they effectively open source it. They said, right, well, it's free for anyone to use. And it's one of the main safety features of every car these days. And that's what we should be striving for with our software. And safety should be informed. We should be able to view the code that's, you know, got potential to harm us and let us make decisions. So those kind of some of the benefits, and talk about the problems involved. And really there's two types of problem. One is, I think the bigger problem is cultural. When I say cultural, I mean the way that things have been done by safety experts and by people making safety applications for many, many years. You know, we're fighting against years of precedence and procedure. And it's not that the code, open source code, is inherently unsafe. It's just like it's done in a very different way. It's a new way of thinking for safety experts who have got very set procedures of how things should be run. So even if the code is technically safe to use, we're fighting against cultural problems of people saying, right, well, it's not safe to use because you haven't followed our set ways of doing things, and our, you know, safety standards don't allow these things to happen. So I think some of the problems are cultural. And you can kind of see why. There's big consequences for getting it wrong. It's not like we can trial and error. We can't just say, right, well, let's just throw Linux into a car and run the brakes on Linux and see what happens. You know, we need to be absolutely sure that this code is going to work. So you can kind of see why, if you follow why people do things and use software in certain ways. But I think we can make it better. I think together we can do things in a smarter way. And the other half is technical. So how do we analyze huge and complex pieces of software? If you take Linux as example, the full Linux OS is tens of millions of lines of code. How can you possibly analyze that to say that it's safe and it's going to be fit for purpose? How do we validate and verify that that software does what we want when we want? And importantly, that it don't do what we don't want it to do. You know, it's very easy to test a piece of software and say, yep, I've run this 100 times and it works 100 times, but can we ever prove that it's not going to do something adverse and cause harm? And that's a much harder problem to solve. And finally, how do we do the above and keep up with the extremely fast pace of open source development? The Linux kernel has tens of thousands of lines of code added every day or every week. How do we make sure that we're giving everything the thorough analysis and verification that it needs to be, but also keeping up with the latest software releases? So I'll go into a bit more detail about those things that I've just spoken. So here are three of the main problems I've seen. This is not an exhaustive list. There are many, many more problems, but these are just three of the big ones I wanted to highlight today. So documentation, proper process, and systems thinking. So first of all, documentation. Safety engineers love documentation. It's how they prove their claims of safety true. They want to have written down full specification of safety requirements. They want to have a written down full architecture design leading to unit design. They want a written down test plan. Everything needs to be documented. And you can see why it's important, because it needs to be auditable by third parties. Someone needs to come in and say, do I have the information to assess whether this product is safe or not? And importantly, if they end up in court, they can use the documentation to show, well, look, these are the steps we've taken, and this is why we took it. But software devs do not love documentation. We just want to write code. Software is often seen as a necessary evil, and in open source projects, a lot of projects, we document it as much as we have to. We'll write a README, we'll write instructions. Some projects are well documented, but nowhere near to the extent that a safety engineer wants. It's a cultural problem, because it's not necessarily a technical problem. It doesn't necessarily affect the code, but it is something that we need to try and find a way that we can produce the documentation needed so that the code is auditable, so a third party can assess, well, is this actually safe or not? And importantly, proper documentation helps us to remove what we call systematic faults, so basically errors introduced by the software process. So this is something we need to figure out, how do we get better at documenting, but importantly, keep the software devs doing what they love, writing code. The second problem, cultural problem, and I think this is the big one, is the process in which software is written. I would say safety engineers love their process. And this diagram here shows a V model. Some of you might be familiar with it. And this is kind of how they see software should be written. This V model is the automotive flavor. So for those of you who don't know, you start at the top left, and you work down the left-hand side. So you essentially come up with a safety concept. You write the requirements, you make an architecture design, and then you make software unit design. So basically you do a high-level analysis and design, and then you break it down into bits and design that as you're going down. And then you go up the right-hand side of the V, and you test the things you've designed. And it very much follows a pattern of write the requirements, write down the design, write the software, and things have to work in that order according to safety engineers. That's not how things happen in if we want to use pre-existing open source projects. You know, if I want to use a piece of open source in a safety application, it's already been written. I can't write the requirements and then go and write the software. You know, I've got to follow a different workflow where I've got to write the requirements and then use an existing piece of software. And the reason I say it's cultural is because it's not necessarily safer or unsafe to write the software after the requirements. As long as I can show that the software meets those requirements, it doesn't really matter when it was written. But this is a big problem, that people are trying to shoehorn open source software into this process, and it just doesn't work. And there's a note there which says, we have to be able to prove the competency of everyone who works on any of this. I'm a firm believer that it doesn't matter how long you've been writing code. You can write code, and if it works, it works. You know, it doesn't matter if you've been coding for 20 years or 2 weeks. But in the world of safety, they need to be able to prove that the people making decisions were competent enough to make those decisions. It's strange in software. You know, other types of engineering, there are set patterns. So like if you're a civil engineer, you get chartered and that's how you prove your competency. But my argument to say software engineering isn't a real engineering practice in that way. you know, there are no exams we get take to prove competency or anything. You can just write code. But for safety, you need to be able to prove the competency. And that's a problem for open source, because a lot of the time, you know, you don't know the people who are making the code. You only know them by a username sometime. And there's no way you can assess, well, how well do they know software? How are they qualified to make decisions? And we need better ways of thinking about this. Like I say, you know, when I say competency, I'm not trying to insult anyone who doesn't have 20 years of software experience, but this is the way the safety world sees it, and this is an obstacle we need to overcome if they want to use open source fit into our culture. So this is what I call the wrong approach. This is something that I've been seeing a lot of companies do. Essentially, they're trying to show things like the kernel development process of Linux kernel and other software projects. Essentially trying to show that the process that they were developed to were in according with that V model that I've just shown. And trying to use things like Git logs, trying to use things like issues on GitHub to show, right, well, an issue is a requirement, the Git commit message is the documentation, we have mailing list posts, and can we basically backdate the documentation? Can we show that it was developed to that V model? And it's the wrong approach, because it wasn't, you know, no one can pretend there's a set of coherent requirements for an open source project. Sometimes there are, sometimes there aren't. For the kernel, for the Linux kernel, there's not. There are requirements for the individual features. You know, someone said, oh, I want this feature, they raise an issue, and then you design the implementation of that feature. But there's no one set of coherent requirements. And it's essentially the wrong way to go about things, to pretend that there were. And ultimately, it doesn't make things any safer. It's just a box-ticking exercise when we do that. It doesn't make the code or the product safer. It's just trying to fit the software we've got into existing safety standards. So I think a better approach, basically, can we adjust this model and do something that's functionally equivalent but much safer? So like I said before, does it matter when what process the development followed? You know, rather than trying to shoehorn and pretend that the software was written to a certain process, can we come up with a new process? Can we say, right, well, it doesn't matter when it was made. The beauty of open source is I can see for myself what the code does. You know, so it doesn't matter if you write a piece of software for a specific application. I'm able to take that software, I'm able to view it myself, I'm able to use my own expertise and my own experience to say, will this match the requirements that I've got? So rather than having this set process of write the requirements, write the software, I could write the requirements and then review the software that exists already. I can analyze that, I can test it, see whether it meets my needs, and then it doesn't matter why it was written originally, and the output is the same. And this is, like I said, it's a cultural problem, because actually it doesn't make the code more or less safe. It's just, it's a bit of a box ticking exercise. And I think we need to move away from that box ticking exercise to come up with processes to say, right, well, what is actually safe? What will actually make safe products, rather than being able to give us certificates that pretend things are safe? And this is a big, big problem that we need to overcome. We need to show ways to overcome this. And the third big problem I see is systems thinking, or the lack of systems thinking. What I mean by that is analyzing the whole system, the whole safety system. There's an obsession in the safety world with single points of failure and everything getting broken down into components. So you see a lot of software being broken down into individual functions, or sometimes individual lines of code. And they say, right, well, that's a component. And then they're doing an analysis. What happens if that function fails? What happens if that single point of failure breaks? How does that affect the system? And that kind of works for simple hardware systems. You know, these methods were written in the 50s or 70s, and, you know, years and years ago, when systems were simple, and they just simply weren't made for complicated software and certainly open source systems. You know, tens of millions of lines of code, they just weren't made with that in mind. And the idea of breaking those down into single components and seeing when they fail just doesn't work. It's not appropriate for software. You know, if you have an OS, multiple parts of the OS could interfere with each other without any individual bit failing. They could just interfere because we haven't analyzed how they work together. A very crude way of putting that is, what happens if you have three applications which all want 70% of the CPU? Individually, none of them have failed, but when you put them together, it doesn't work because there's too much CPU needed. That's a very crude way of looking at it, but it's a good example of why we need to think about the whole system rather than just individual components. And an important part of that is components can't be safe or unsafe. Only systems can be. And what I mean by that is this effort to try and certify things as being safe, like software projects. And ultimately, software is not safe or unsafe. It's only safe in a given context. I can't just certify the Linux kernel and say, yep, this is safe, because it's only safe in certain conditions. It's only unsafe in certain conditions. I'm running Debian on my laptop right now. I'm not scared. It's not unsafe. It's not going to blow up. It's not going to cause me any harm now. I put that in my car and control my brakes and my steering on it, suddenly it becomes unsafe. I think the best and simplest example of this I've heard was was if you think of a spoon. You know, a spoon is not unsafe. I've never hurt myself with a spoon. I've never been scared of a spoon. And you could say, as a component, yep, I could certify that this is 100% safe. If you give that spoon to a toddler and they go near an electrical socket, all of a sudden that spoon becomes a lot more dangerous. And things are only unsafe or safe in given contexts. And we have to analyze the whole system and how we use the software in a system. And this is a real change of culture, change of a way of thinking for a lot of safety people. And we need to show that how software interacts with humans, how it interacts with other pieces of software, and how it interacts with hardware makes a huge difference. So now I'll talk about the technical problems. And really, there's three headline technical problems that I've come across. There's much, much more, but these are sort of the big ones. It's how do we analyze complex software? How do we prove functionality? And how do we keep up? So how do we analyze complex software? Well, code projects we use today are huge. Tens of millions of lines of code. And they've got complicated dependencies. You know, they're not just one software repo we analyze. That software repo can rely on another two or three repos or however many. And we integrate these things together. We come up with these huge, complicated meshes of software, which all gets compiled into a single or into a few binaries and delivered. How do we analyze that? How do we possibly know if it's going to break? We don't have thoroughly documented requirements. So we need to create and champion more advanced analysis techniques. Current analysis techniques, things like FMEA and HAZOP and fault tree analysis, are their favorites of the safety world, but they don't really apply to software and they don't apply to huge complex systems. So we need to, as a community, create ways to analyze software. We need to think of new and innovative ways that we can assess whether a piece of code will do what we want it to do. I like STPA. That's something that was created by MIT. It's a systems analysis approach. Basically, it lets us analyze how things, different parts of the system, interact with each other. I really like it. I think it works really nicely for software. It means we can model humans and hardware along with our software, and it lets us abstract complexity. But I think there needs to be a lot more effort and a lot more of a community approach to advance the state of the art for these analysis techniques. And even things like STPA, we could really advance how it's used for software. The next big problem is, how do we prove functionality? Really, the answer is testing. We test it, we test it, and we do more tests. But it's something that I think personally is a little bit behind the curve. I think testing isn't the most exciting thing for a lot of software developers. And I think we could really advance the state of the art in testing as well, and how we validate and verify the software. I think that's something that needs a big community push. And finally, how do we keep up? I said before, there are thousands of lines of code added every day to some software projects. How do we know what could make our system unsafe? There's this way of doing things in the safety world where they just take a release of software and they certify that and say, right, this version of software is safe. By the time it's gone through the whole certification process, the past world of open source has moved on and we've got several versions later. And importantly, those versions include security fixes, bug fixes, and even though they're more safe than the previous version, you know, we've got a certificate to say this previous version is safe because we went through the certification process. And that certificate's really a box-ticking exercise. It's a bit useless because maybe there's been important security updates or whatever in this new version. So we need to find a way to keep up and be able to incorporate all the latest features and changes and bug fixes and security updates, but do that in a way that we can still analyze whether it's safe. Because there's a problem with open source where, you know, we're not just writing safety code. People can be adding features for completely different reasons. So what happens if there's a release which has an important security fix that I need, but another piece of the code invalidates some of my safety argumentation? So we need to find a way to keep up. I think essentially it's going to be through clever analysis and tests. But again, we need to advance the state of the art of these, and we need to be able to automate a lot of this process and be able to very, very quickly decide which updates are important, which updates are going to break our safety arguments and essentially cause harm. And finally, what can we do as creators? And I really think that you've taken the first step by being here, by listening.